Good day, everyone. Today we're here to discuss the new proposals as to where we should invest our many billions.
Very good, sir.
I agree.
We shall invest strategically.
Very smart, sir.
I know. Genius as always. Anyways, bring in the first presenter.
Hello, everybody. I'm here to propose a cleaner and better world for tomorrow. The way I propose we do this is by utilizing the same power that drives the sun.
Heat? We already have heaters.
Yes, we do.
I agree.
I own one myself.
No, you misunderstand. I'm talking about fusion energy. It's a process in which two tiny atoms are smashed together to form a new atom, plus energy.
Okay, so we smash stuff, we make new stuff, plus some extra cash. I like where this is going.
Very good, boss.
Jolly good idea.
That's why you're the boss.
I knew you would, because you're a man who has an eye for the technology of tomorrow. You are going to lead the push to the moon.
To the moon? That sounds expensive.
I can feel my wallet hurting now.
Very expensive, boss.
Money that we don't have.
However, we're not talking about just money. We're talking about capitalizing on a huge energy market. I'm talking powering the entire world with fusion energy for thousands of years to come.
They're called power plants. My friend Greg owns them.
Yes, but unlike a fossil fuel plant or a fission plant, fusion energy, when done optimally, releases minimal hazardous byproducts. The way we'll optimize fusion energy is by gathering helium-3.
Slow down there, buddy. What is this helium-3 stuff? Sounds expensive.
Helium-3? What is that?
We're not going on a gold rush.
More like helium-3 billion dollars.
In a normal helium atom, there are two protons and two neutrons. This is known as helium-4. If we removed a proton, it wouldn't be helium anymore. It would be hydrogen. Thus, helium-3 is a helium atom with two protons and only one neutron. It's useful in the fusion process because it provides a cleaner type of fusion that doesn't release hazardous neutrons.
Well, where do we get it? The supermarket or something? Elements Are Us?
I've seen it at the store. I own some myself.
Come on, where can we find it?
Well, you see, due to our complex atmosphere, helium-3 is not available in large quantities on the Earth. The atmosphere absorbs it.
Remind me, what are your credentials? I don't think you're qualified to talk about the atmosphere.
You would be right, which is why I secured an interview with Gerald L. Kolsinski. He is a professor of nuclear engineering at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and director of the Fusion Technology Institute. Allow him to explain why helium-3 is not in our atmosphere.
If one looks around to find out where there are large supplies of helium-3, it turns out that the solar wind, which contains helium-3 coming out of the sun, blows on all of the bodies in our solar system. But being a charged solar wind, it does get diverted from all bodies that have a magnetic field, or it gets absorbed in the atmosphere of all bodies that have an atmosphere. And if you start from the sun, you'll find that Mercury doesn't have any atmosphere, but it's got a magnetic field, so it doesn't collect the helium-3. Venus has got a very tough atmosphere, and it absorbs the helium-3, never gets down to the surface. We've got both, so we didn't collect any of the solar wind and so forth. As you move out into the solar system, what you find very quickly, the closest body to the sun, therefore the highest flux of helium-3, is our moon, which has neither a magnetic field nor an atmosphere.
So as you see, it's not available in large quantities on our Earth, which is why I propose we go to the moon to mine the largest amount of helium-3 that is within the reach of humanity.
You know, some people look at the moon and they see a lovely image in the sky. I look at it and I see one giant silver dollar that I just don't have. I see it too.
It's money in the sky.
We must get it.
Well then, how do we take out helium-3 from the moon? That sounds expensive.
Actually, although that may seem like a hot problem, there is a method to go about extracting the helium-3.
The fact that it's buried very close to the surface, though, means it's easy to get out. So if you heat it up, and actually experiments at the University of Minnesota on the Apollo 11 sample showed that if you heat it up to about 700 or 800 degrees centigrade, the helium-3 that's been embedded in the what we call lunar regolith, that's a very fine-grained material on the moon, the helium-3 comes out over 90% of the helium-3 that's in the lunar regolith. So what one needs is a source of energy to heat up the lunar regolith and then desorb the helium-3 and then separate it out from the other gaseous components.
So we just have to light the moon on fire and we have our helium-3? Sounds easy enough.
Very easy.
Burn, baby, burn!
Well, I don't think people want to see the moon burning, although it would be cool. However, science has a solution as always. We have designed moon vehicles that can mine the moon.
Wait, so we're going to set a bunch of remote-controlled vehicles to capitalize on the moon's resources?
Money! We're gonna be rich, baby!
Wait, isn't that morally wrong and unethical?
I'm sorry for my former employee over here and his radical statements. Continue, this intrigues me, though I still find it hard to believe.
Well, if you don't believe it's a possibility, then hear for yourself.
Miners that we've designed now, we've gone through 3 generations of miners, show that one 20-ton miner could produce on the order of 100 kilograms of helium-3 a year. And that would support on the order of a gigawatt power plant. So one would need a fleet of these miners on the surface of the moon. And the fleet might involve hundreds of miners, but they could be robotically controlled from the Earth or from stations on the moon.
All right, I'm sold. Let's get invested.
Good job, boss. Excellent deal.
We're gonna be rich.
We're going to change the world.
Though I would also like to take a moment to recognize the people who gave me the confidence to make this proposal.
And they would be? Alexander Zervos, my good sir.
And Andy Cox. We're reporters at Terrascope Youth Radio.